Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
Restoring broken trust, it's not easy, but it is possible. With God's help, the Bible says, all things are possible.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Let's go into a message taken from a recent Wednesday night Bible study here at Pace Assembly. This is Restoring Broken Trust. Let's go into the message with Pastor Rogers today.
So God will deal more severely with a leader who instigates a rebellion or injury. Romans chapter 1 tells us, those that make laws that lead people into sin will have a more severe judgment than those that were under those laws. So I wish I could say it, because whenever the New York legislation signs a document for abortion and then they laugh and clap at the killing, there will be severe judgment that will come as a result of that. And it will fall on those who sign their name to the document. The person at the center of the offense carries a greater load of responsibility and judgment. So the process of restoration is abandoned when we do not submit ourselves to true, genuine, qualified leadership. Pastor who commits an immoral act or a crime, he may ask for forgiveness, and his denomination may forgive him, and the church may forgive him. And he says, like I have heard in just this past year, pastors that get up, one that was right here in the state of Florida, if I told you where it was, within a few hours' drive from here, he stands up and confesses to his immorality with another woman on his wife in front of the church, and the church applauds and says, go back and preach in the pulpit. He's pastoring that church right now. My friends, we're in such a state right now that if we don't adhere to the word of God, we're so far off the bubble. You should expect the board of directors of this church to hold me accountable as the pastor of this house. And if you don't, then you don't love this church. Did you hear what I said? Why would we expect more out of Enron than we would the church? Come on, folks. Why would we expect more out of a corporate business of the standard and let the church just pass on by? Doesn't need to work that way. Are y'all still with me? Because restoration is a process, it never satisfies obsessive behavior. What do you mean by that? Well, let me just add here very quickly. Jesus said, I will forgive you your sins if you come to me. But note the model prayer. He says, forgive us our sins as we forgive others their trespasses and sins. So Jesus said, I'll forgive you, but if you don't forgive someone else and get restored, then I will not forgive you of your sins. Did you hear that? We do not hear that preached. You want forgiveness, but you're not willing to give it. Restoration must happen all the way through, or it's not restorative for you. So why is that so important? Because forgiveness doesn't make the wounds go away. That's the reason why there's a process of restoration. Okay? So you cut somebody with a knife. You cut somebody with a knife, and then you go, oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm glad you said you're sorry, but currently I'm bleeding profusely. I need you to now take me to the hospital. Oh, man, look at the time. I got to go. But I'm sorry. Are y'all hearing me? Okay. So with that in mind, many people try to use the word of God, I've heard this, against the wounded person. I said I'm sorry, now forgive me, let's forget about it and move on. Well, the deeper the hurt, the deeper the wound, the longer the process of healing takes place. If you have forgiven me, why is this hurt still in your eyes? Well, remember, you're the one who put it in my eyes. Is this helping anybody here tonight? So why did he place then, he placed a greater weight of responsibility and judgment upon Miriam than Aaron? Miriam was the older sister of Moses. So what did he give her? He gave her a good case of leprosy. Now, according to the law, this is what we think today because we're living in the dispensation of grace. And just because swift judgment doesn't come, we think we got away with something. But God talked to them at the door, and then the Bible said he left. I can imagine them going, phew. And then all of a sudden, these putrefying, white, pus-filled sores start breaking out all over her body. And instantly, Aaron, the high priest, who declares someone unclean, had to turn to his sister in front of the whole church and say, this woman is unclean. Sorry. This woman. This woman over here. This woman is unclean. I'm not even looking at you right now. This woman is unclean. He had to make that declaration and then put her out of the camp for 7 days at least. God is serious about the one who instigates rebellion, offense. In fact, the Bible says, if you offend one of these little ones, it's better that you have a rope around your neck and a millstone tied around it, and you're cast into the river. Because with your mouth, you bless, and with your mouth, you condemn. Amen. Aaron did not have the leadership qualities that his sister Miriam had. He fell under the pressure, and what did he do? Whenever they all said, Aaron, make us a calf, he said, okay, what kind? Miriam, however, was a strong-willed prophetess, and she hid, listen, this is Miriam who hid Moses in the bulrush, put him in the Nile, and then followed him down to Pharaoh's house. This was his sister who loved him and cared for him. Aaron was manipulated because he was weak-natured, and God struck the one with leprosy who generated the rebellion. If Miriam had continued with the rebellion and gathered other forces in the camp like Korah did, she would have died from her leprosy. Instead, in the scripture, Miriam affirms the leadership of Moses. She said, hey, Moses, you're the only one, you think you're the only one who hears from God, Pastor. I got news for you. I hear from God too about this church. Now, I know you think that that kind of thing don't happen, but it wasn't but just a few months ago somebody wrote me a letter who said they had a prophecy over this church right here, and because I was holding all these things up and allowing things to take place, that they weren't going to release the word over this house, and therefore it would be Ichabod until I apologized to them. Now, I don't go around beating my chest. In fact, I don't even have a placard out there where I park. My wife and I don't even have a picture up of ourselves in this building anywhere in 13 years. But I just want to let all of you know, because I don't beat my chest about this, but I'm just going to say to you, I know who I am. I am the pastor. We call other pastors around here, but I am the lead head dog in charge. If they're going to sue somebody, I'm at the top of the list. And it's already happened. If I have to have a criminal attorney because somebody messed up on this campus, then I have to get one, and it's already happened. If something happens at the daycare, it's my name at the top of the list. If the finances go up, hallelujah. If they go down, I'm at the top of the list. If it's a good sermon, hallelujah. If it's a bad one, I don't stop being the pastor because of that. I don't boast that. I don't have to beat my chest and run around here. No more than a father has to run around and say, I'm the father around here. Did you know I'm the father? I am the father. I got a t-shirt that says father on it. I am the father. If you've got to do that, guess what? You're not the father. If you got to run around hollering, I'm the pastor, I'm the pastor, I'm the pastor, you ain't the pastor. I'm in charge of this company. If you got to run that around all the time, you ain't in charge. I think you're probably excited and praying for me to go to Israel quicker than what I... Listen, if you don't think your sin will stop things happening at your house, the Bible says that it stopped the entirety of the nation of Israel for 8 days. Nobody moved. How do you feel about the pressure of that? That you're the one who started a conversation, a gossip against your own brother, the pastor in the wilderness. I'm not looking at you, sister. It's my sister over there. Every time I do this Miriam thing, she calls me on the phone after the service. You know? That's not me. My name is Marcia. I'm just saying to you, how would you like to be the person with all the pressure on? You're the only one with leprosy outside of the camp. You mean we can't go to the river because we can't have church, we can't get blessed? We'd like to get out of this. 8 days. 8 days. Restoration process. Now, I'm going to tell you, had she not affirmed the leadership and said, wait a minute, I'm not in charge here, Moses is, then she would have died right there. Because restoration is a process, ladies and gentlemen, obsessive behavior is detrimental. What do you mean by that? Somebody trying to get restored keeps running. Miriam had to get out of the camp. She couldn't communicate with anybody. Unclean, unclean. Had she been able to do that, she'd have probably been running to Moses every second. Hey, can't we work this out? Come on, I asked for forgiveness. Can't you figure this out? All right, when are you going to forgive me? When are we going? All right, have you ever been around somebody like that? They won't let the process happen. You just did this an hour ago, and now you're wanting to get back in the driver's seat. Not yet. Come on, somebody. That's the reason why you can't set time limits on the process of restoration. What do you mean by that? You don't need somebody that's running up to you all the time. Are we friends yet? Are we friends yet? Facebooking you all the time? If somebody's obsessively trailing you, you better pull the ripcord. Right? Listen, the Old Testament time limit was 7 days. But if God wants to do it in 24 hours, why do you want to get locked in on something? Lord, do your work until it's complete in me. Because you can't heal anyone faster than they want to be healed. Am I helping anybody here tonight? When someone pushes the offended party into a time frame, they are rebelling against the process. So you must say, I will submit to the process, and when God gets ready, it'll be done, and I'll be ready then, and I will faithfully work in the capacity I need to until that time. You can't make people trust you, and you can't trust what you don't trust. The offender must be willing to take the time it takes.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.